Veni Sancte Spiritus. Anybody know what it means? Oh, you're beautiful. Come Holy Spirit. We start off though, just give us a low A. And you get to pick. This is just a couple of chords that go on and on, and you get to pick whatever note you want, but we're going to start with that low A first. It goes like this. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni. Oh, see, Sancte Spiritus. You're good. Now you can choose to do this. We're just going to go up to the B. Start on the A, and we're going to go to the B. Veni Sancte Spiritus. So try that. Veni Sancte Spiritus. And some people can stay on that low note. Okay, and then we go up to the third. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Good, then we jump up to the fifth. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Just pick any note you want in that whole chord and make it a prayer. Veni Sancte Spiritus. 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 Come Holy Spirit. Veni Sancte Spiritus. A couple more times. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus.
So I'm just going to start with a little bit of follow-up. Several people have asked me about how Spirit in Action is supported, and just wanted to share that with you. There are about 5 or 6 different churches who have women's groups or missions committees that support Spirit in Action with small grants. We have one amazing family foundation that supports us that we are so grateful for. And then the whole rest, probably 85% of all of our funds come from individuals just like you, including people who are already, several people already here are supporting Spirit in Action. So as I mentioned before, the grants are $150 for the small business fund. So that's a pretty small amount that people can contribute to really make a difference. Okay, now to transition to today. Oh, wait, show the slide first. This was the one that I missed before. Of me with wearing my skirt in Malawi with the woman who tailored it for me. So I didn't catch her name, but I did want to show her photo. Now I'm going to play my power song to get me pumped up. It's not Eye of the Tiger, which, you know, sometimes that's kind of what I need. But this is one of the Taizé songs that really speaks to me. So just wanted to play that as another sort of centering before going into my talk today.
Oh.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. So one of the things that keeps me from living the good life and separating me from that loving God is fear. So beneath all the difficulties in my life is that shadow of fear and something I don't want to address. So I'm going to address it today. I can't get to my wholeness without recognizing and welcoming that fear. Of course, I'm not talking about fear of like a dangerous situation. This is not saying that I'm going to go out and do something irrational or where I'm putting myself in bodily harm. But this is talking about facing those fears inside me. And fear is that is often anticipation of loss, loss of control. And so we can make rules that sort of try to control that potential future loss. So like an overly strict workplace that keeps adding rules to control the workers so that, you know, fearing if they don't have the rules, then the workers will kind of do whatever. But of course, that makes it so that there's no choice for the individual workers. It's sort of, it's made out of fear rather than allowing each person to be themselves and to put trust in the situation. So I've heard that fear can be described like clouds that keep us from loving ourselves in any moment. So what are those clouds that are kind of above me, that are keeping me separated? Well, I kind of had a long list when I started to think about it. You know, feeling like I'm not doing enough for the world. It's a trance of unworthiness. Like I'm not doing possibly enough. Coming here, once people hear my talks, will they still like me? You know, trying to prove my worth through my work or through busyness. Some people do this trying to prove their worth through their family members. If Boyd's hanging out with a new friend, does that mean he still likes hanging out with me? That's jealousy. What if we have to move and I don't have any say in the situation? What if all my friends have kids and they don't want to be my friends anymore? What if my life, my relationships change and then everything is over? You know, super dramatic, like, ah! So how's your stomach feeling? Mine's like a little bit in knots right now. Yesterday in the morning meditation, Carol repeated, I never devalue myself with destructive self-criticism. Was that the word? Ooh, that was a hard one for me to to think, am I doing that? No, I'm constantly, you know, thinking about what I'm doing wrong. So there was a poll that asked people to rank their fears and found that the top two were public speaking and death in that order. So that means that at a funeral, you're better off in the casket than you are giving the eulogy. I love that. The death or the end of a relationship is a huge source of fear. So much, as I said, so much of these fears are just my own thoughts. It's not real. And someone talked to me about it as if, like, imagine if someone is whispering in your ear all the things that you're telling yourself, like, hey, Tanya, did you know you're not good enough? You know that no one likes you? Like, I wouldn't stand that person. I would just go like, dude, get away from me. But somehow I let myself tell myself those things. So I like this idea of thinking that the fear can be real but not true. Have you heard about that distinction? It's kind of like this imposter syndrome. That's when I feel like everyone, I'm working in my job and suddenly everyone's going to figure out that I'm a fraud and that they're going to like fire me. I can have that real sense of trying, you know, that I'm an imposter. I can have that real feeling of fear and that knowing that it's not true. It's not reality, but that's a real feeling. So that's good to remember, those different things. So that practice of finding the strength within myself and connecting to God's love within me, knowing that I'm the temple of God, to be whole, to overcome this fear, and then to enjoy what's right here rather than what might be in the future. That's what I'm working on. I often choose an angel card in the morning. Some of the people have them in their name tags. It looks like one of the prayer groups must have done that. They have like a quality or a characteristic. There's even an angel card app. So I can, every morning at 9 a.m. I get prompted to do a new one. Mine this morning was creativity. But the one that I've been focusing on recently is courage. And for me, that courage is the courage to share my feelings, share, sort of confront those fears. And Boyd can tell when I'm getting nervous about something because I get really burpy. I started like my stomach is just so worked up that I'm just like, oh, and he's like, okay, just talk about it. So again, noticing where my body's at compared to what I'm feeling. First, when I'm trying to share those fears, it's getting clear on what that is. So again, going back to communication, getting clear what's the root of the fear, what's the sadness, what's the anxiety about, and then being sort of having that courage to be vulnerable enough to share that with someone. So a real example, I'm scared, Boyd, that I'm not your favorite dance partner. You notice how professional dancers are pretty much usually the same size? Do you notice, like, Boyd when he stands next to me? You know, we modify, we know how to dance together. But, you know, that's still my real fear. So the practice of vulnerability is saying this out loud. And let that fear be as big as it needs to be, as big as it feels right now. And then notice that that's never bigger than God's love. That fear is never bigger than what can be encompassed in God's love. And so the listener plays a really big role in allowing that vulnerability too. The listener is there to just let me be vulnerable. We practice this in prayer groups. We don't need to rush to a solution when someone shares something. We're not trying to fix that person within the prayer group. We're just there to ask, you know, what can we do to support you? Does it affect me? Is this something that I do need to change? Or is this just something you're sharing? And so it's, in the sort of water metaphors that I like to dabble in, it's allowing those waves just flooding over. I'm floating over them as they come, just like another wave coming and floating with that fear. That's the vulnerability, is allowing those waves to be there and just to float. So back to the dance partner thing. That was a real feeling. But, you know, after the discussion, I could see and know that, you know, I was still his favorite partner. He might have better dances with other people. And again, that's just, there's so many aspects to our fear and to what the true solution can be. And, you know, and if I'm being honest, you know, I like dancing with short people, so it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't have to follow that if we don't have our best dances, that we're not our favorite partners, and therefore, you know, everything's going to go to, you know, not a good place, we'll just say. So sometimes all I need to do is say those fears out loud so I can sort of claim it and move on. So, you know, sometimes that fear loses the power when it's put into words. So as I was practicing this just on my own, saying I get anxiety around emails or texts when I can see that someone's seen it and I haven't responded. So I was like, okay, what's that fear about? If I just go to the sort of most basic fear around that, I'm afraid that if I haven't responded to his email yet, he'll think I don't like him, and then he won't want to be my friend anymore. Like, that sounds kind of absurd when you say it out loud. Like, of course, like, you get emails all the time, you read them, then you go, oh, I'll respond to that later. You don't say, like, well, you know, I saw that email, I'm definitely not responding because I don't like them. Like, just saying it out loud sort of gets that craziness to dispel, because otherwise just that fear can just build and build and build and build and build to this absurd level. And when it gets to that crazy level, that fear of control, that fear of loss, then that's when I try to grasp. I said, oh, I just gotta grab onto the last little bit there. I gotta get this before it goes away. And so then that's when those rules come. So the opposite of all that is stepping into the flow, letting go of the grasping, letting go, letting God. And really, that's letting that divinity within me manifest through me, which is part of the divine plan. Let be whatever is right here. If I'm scared, just feel that, and then feel God's love flowing over me. So what does it mean to be open right now to that living flow? What happens if I let go of that fear, and feel the flow? Just recognizing that fear in ourselves, like I said, saying it out loud, saying it to someone else, is dipping my toe into God's flow. Calling up that spirit within me, reminding myself that, you know, the King is in residence here in my heart. And so being able to hold both that fear and that power within sort of like dissolves the divide between like, this is good, this is bad. I have to get to the good part. Just allowing that balance of flow, that sort of unsettledness, is part of actually being whole. And I can then begin to, you know, do the steps towards loving myself more fully as I am, with both sides being okay. It was on one of my podcasts. I heard about an album title, and I've never heard the album. I don't even know the artist, but the title was "Burn Your Fire for No Witness." And for me, that was just like, wow, drawing my own strength. I'm just having this big old fire, and it's just for me. It's just for, no one else needs to see it. It's that, you know, being there with that power and being okay with it. So as someone who has almost always been partnered in my life, it's a wonderful challenge for me to rediscover my own strength. And I've been doing that a lot, particularly in last year, as Boyd and I have been settled more in Toronto. We've done many more work trips on our own. We've been proactive about making new friends and deepening those relationships independent of each other as a part of way to build our worlds. But so that brings up a lot of fear. It brings up a lot of anxiety about being alone, loneliness. So often I'll journal, what if this is all I am? What if this is me? What if this is all there is? Can I burn my fire for no witness? I wrote at one point in my journal, in this present moment, there is just me and my own, not worrying about who anyone else is with. They're out there, I'm right here. And then I described everything that was around me. I hear the sounds of the street outside. I hear the air conditioning. I hear, like, I'm sitting on my bed. This is my condo. Oh yeah, there's a cat here also, but she's kind of just sitting there. So it was just for me, recognizing my space, recognizing that I was there, burning that fire. And then still recognizing that there was that God, that spirit within. So what if I'm, who am I if I'm alone? If there's no one to share my status update with, or even share a meal with? As I mentioned sort of earlier, my tendency would be to call a friend to distract myself in some way, keep me from experiencing that silence on my own. So in other words, fall into the busy trap, try to call a friend that I don't want to see for lunch and try to, you know, make that happen. So that's, again, the practice, and as I said, this is ongoing, the practice is to find that strength within myself, deal with those waves as they come, be okay with that. And so I've been singing. And my song, my other power song is My own struggle is my own. I need self-assurance, so I will defend. I am my own sister. I am my own friend. And it's been so powerful. In some ways, it's sort of radical. It's this, the power of No Man Is an Island is that we are truly connected, that there's that, celebrate that connectedness, that web, that we never have to be alone. And yet, sometimes what I need is just that strength within myself to not be dependent on anyone else and know that when I am alone, that I can flourish in that. I can be my own sister, that close relationship, that person who understands me from the moment, well, since she was born, since I'm the older one. But I can be my own friend, those friends that I say, the friends who really know me, those friends who are, that know that deepest sense of me. I can be my own lover. It's not in the song, but it's still important. I can be that one who loves myself unconditionally. So what if I, one of the biggest fears, sort of general, not sort of pinpoint, but sort of broad underlying clouds, I guess, is what if I lose my loved one? What if Boyd and I are not together? We've been together about a third of our lives. Who am I on my own? I don't think that this question is like imminent. I'm not sure I have to answer this soon. But, you know, how do we live on our own? If I keep in fear, then, as I said, it keeps the grasping. It's the rules that limit freedom. It's asking over and over again. It says, you love me, right? Are you sure? Are you sure? Rather than just stopping to notice the million ways that he shows me he loves me every day. Bringing me tea in bed every morning. Asking my opinions. Sharing his joys, coming to camp with me. And so, as I'm burning my fire for own witness, I'm also learning to be okay on my own, to be okay alone. If Boyd wants to go out dancing and I don't want to, then be okay with that empty house. If he has to stay late at work, you know, going down to the cafe, grabbing a glass of wine, reading my favorite mystery book before he comes home. I've heard of this concept of going on a date with God. I'm not sure I'm ready for that, but, you know, that sort of idea of like, hey, we're just hanging out here, you know. So that's my growing edge. And it was interesting because I was talking to a friend recently that was having the opposite reaction to their fears. He feared going out so much, so his tendency was just to stay home and stay home alone. And the grasping was to stay there and not to go out and see other people. So the work for him and his inner strength was to pick up the phone and call someone, or text, more likely, someone to see if they wanted to go out. And so it's great to just recognize that we can have these opposite practices, but still be dealing with that same cloud of fear. So again, when I face my fear, I find my own strength. I am my own sister, my own friend. This little light of mine, I'll let it shine for me. I stand strong alone. Know ye not that you're the child of God and the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth within? That core strength, that spirit, is there whether I'm with Boyd or with all my friends or whether I'm alone, whether someone likes my status update or likes my Instagram photo or not. That strength is still there. And again, the practice is noticing that fear. It's not getting rid of the times that I'm, potential times that I'm alone, that fear-driven action. It's being aware of my pattern and know my potential to respond to it in a different way. Taking that time to get clear and to pause is to move towards that wholeness. Just so, you know, it sort of derails that train that's just hurtling along down the scary track. and get it back on this move, this track of love and acceptance. The other practice is turning to awe. For me, courage and awe are related. So when I notice other people doing courageous acts, sharing their identity, even if it hurts their relationships, living against the mainstream, I'm honored and in awe of that individual strength that they're showing. And when I can live in that place of awe, then there's so many wonderful things that begin to be available to me. New relationships, new understanding of the world, new experiences, new way of hearing other people and understanding. So I consider what brings me a sense of awe. You can ask that of yourself too. What do you see that's courageous, that is truly awesome in the world? So tomorrow I'll be talking about community, the importance in building community. But for now, I celebrate that even when I am all there is, I can be dancing with myself, being my own lover, overcome my fears of inadequacy, and instead live in that awe, the amazingness of our world, and that each unique expression that we have. You know that song, "I Love You with the Love of the Lord"? It's a different one. "Your uniqueness has a place in my world." How does that one start? "You are beautiful." It's all the same idea, but yeah, "You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Your uniqueness has a place in my world. You are beautiful to me." For me, that's singing awe. Each person is unique, and each person has a unique place in my world. So when we're strong, when I'm strong in myself, then I can build community, and I can build that real, do that real work for peace in the world. So the question I leave you with today is, what am I afraid of? What are those clouds that keep me from loving myself? What would it look like if I burned my fire for no witness? What would it look like if I felt my inner strength and became my own friend? So then if it feels right, at some point in the next few days or in the next year, I encourage you to share that with someone who can just listen, who can let you be vulnerable, so you can begin to deflate that fear and turn it to awe. So just to end, we'll sing the "I Am My Own Island" together. Do you give me a sure, yeah, that'd be great if you could play. And really feel it, really feel like, who would you be if you're on your friend? /246. Self-assured. Amen. And thank you for letting me share.